Anybody like animals? Wildlife animal? What's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile? Any idea? One of them you'll see later, and one of them you'll see in a while. And Marcy is shaking her head. Does anybody know what a woodcock is? Where's Joe when he's, I need him here. Nobody knows what a woodcock is. You do? Did you know they have a mating dance? You do. I thought I would be the only one other than Joe, maybe. But they're making their mating dance and their noise outside at night now. What they do is they fly up, the male flies up and starts spinning around and making this twisting noise and lands close to the female. And then he starts dancing like this all around her. And just trying to win her love. But it's really happening outside at night, the last several nights. So if you want to hear a woodcock spinning around, you go outside and you'll hear them. And lastly, when we were coming, I was leading Mackenzie's grandma here yesterday for her baby shower, and coming down the road, there was a huge gobbler. You know, how you ever see him strutting? And his beard almost touched the ground. It was huge, and it was tempting. I could hit him with my car and have free dinner, but I didn't. I just swerved around him. But it's fun watching these things, isn't it? Yeah. So that's it for my wildlife measurement for today. But the other notes, the last week in May, the last Saturday of May, the 30th, we have so many things to get ready for camp. And that's the best date we're going to pick for May. We'll probably have one more in June sometime. But if you could make it, man, woman, child, grandmother, great-grandmother, we'll give you a job to do. So if you can keep that date open from 9 to 4, and I'll serve you lunch. But we could really use your help getting ready for kids' camp. Speaking of kids' camp, I've kept track over the years how many numbers we have by the end of each month. We have as many now, the end of April, as we've had ever by the end of May. So yeah, we have about 130 kids signed up already. So we'll be praying for that. We got the work day. All right. Everybody has to come up here, has those shirts on. Come on up here, guys. And gal. Stand right here in a little row, facing the congregation. Now, you say, what are you doing? Number one, what are you doing wearing those weird shirts? This is nothing compared to what I used to do when I first became a Christian. But that's another story. They go along with the sermon today. And can anybody read anybody's? I have decided with the explanation mark. Now, we're going to find out where that comes from during the sermon and how meaningful it really is. Everybody ready to make the switch? Da, da, da. How about you? But just remember those things during the sermon, okay? And you'll find out why that's so important. Thanks to God. How about you, buddy? Everybody's asking, where are we at with Bonnie's house? We're at waiting for the insurance people to give us okay. and we're setting up different jobs to be done. For one, this tree, it's 5 foot across. That's not a round, it's a cross. Yeah, if anybody ever seen that big one that fell in my backyard about 3 years ago, it took me 2.5 months to cut up. It's the same size. And when we get some things lined up where there'll be some opportunities for us to help some, we'll let you know. But that's where we're at with Bonnie's tree and her house, the damage it did. Anybody notice the bridge is closed? They showed up Tuesday, started working for a whole day. I thought, yes. I haven't seen another guy since. So sooner or later, they'll get back to work. But this coming Saturday, we have our trout fishing derby. Anybody 16 and younger can fish. Anybody 17 and up can come and help the little tots to fish. And I got some secrets to teach you if you get a little tot. But we'll go over that sometime when the little tots aren't here. But from 8 to 12, anybody that wants to bring their kids, doesn't have to be your kids, neighbor kids, kids you see along the street, whatever. It can all come. We got poles if need be. I'll have bait here, and it'll be a lot of fun. And they say, I don't want my fish. There's people that I know are waiting in line for fish that the kids don't want. So even if you don't like fish, catch them and we'll give them to somebody. And Micah, you wanted to give a report on the auction?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that contributed the baskets. A lot of you guys donated baskets. A lot of you donated your time stopping different places, asking for donations. A lot of you guys contributed just praying for the auction and then being part of it that night as well. And it was our best year ever. We were able to raise over $15,000 that night with things still coming in. So it was an amazing time. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And it was a huge blessing. Thank you, everyone.
So thanks for all your help. Today, we're going to be talking about making a difference. And you can make a difference for God in so many different ways. Helping Bonnie with her disaster to her house, that's a way to do it. There's so many other things we can do. But there's two things that have been on my heart to do most of my Christian life. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before that, I want to turn to where Micah opened up last week from Luke chapter 5. And I want to read a couple things that'll perfectly lead into the sermon. I'm going to start with verse 4. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out your net into the deep, put out into the deep water and let down your net for catches. Simon answered and said, Master, we have worked all night. Remember that song? And caught no fishes. And but if that's what you want us to do, that's what we'll do, and we'll let down our nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, so much so that their nets begin to break. Now, play along with me for a minute. What do you think was going through God's mind when he's seen all those nets breaking? Oh, no, I didn't even take that into account. We shouldn't have let that many fish come. Look what it's doing to their livelihood. You think that's what was going through his mind? No. He had everything all figured out. But sometimes the things that seem like they give us security, like our job or whatever, God can take those things away and have a better purpose for us with our time. And there's no way to figure that out other than just see how God what God's doing in your life and my life. This last Monday, I spent the whole day, so did Marcy, in the hospital. I had some things going on, and that was my feeling, like, oh God, I could have got so much done today with these different things that needed done, and it didn't happen. So let's read on a little further. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and the nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat, and they came to help them. And they came and filled both boats full of fish, so that they began to sink. That'd be a scary thing, huh? You're allowed 5 trout on Saturday, okay? But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet, saying, go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Is there anybody that can come to Jesus that isn't a sinful man? Is there anybody that could still come before Jesus and stand a non-sinful man? If you could do that on your own, Jesus died for nothing. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catchers of men. That doesn't leave the ladies out. You can be catchers of ladies too. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, what an attitude change, huh? They left everything to follow him and become a fisher of men. I'll tell you what I'm after today. I'm after going after 2 areas that have been kind of in my DNA since I gave my life to Jesus. And they've consumed a lot of my thought, quite a bit of energy, time, money. And the 2 things are this. Number 1, witnessing, see other people come to know Jesus. That's something we can do. That's what these shirts are about. We're going to go over that in just a few minutes, and where it come from. It'll blow your mind. And the second thing we're going to talk about that's part of my DNA ever since we took our little kids when they were small. I think I had some pictures of them back there when they were like 8 and younger, all to Washington, D.C. to stand up for life. Esther, if I know you could have come along. Maybe you were there. I don't know. But those 2 things are so important for us to do, and we're going to talk about them today, why they're so important. And in a real way, these shirts, I'm on a recruiting mission. Ellie back there, I didn't know you were here until I seen you back there. And Ellie bought me a mug for Christmas last year. And it goes something like this. Earth is not my home, for heaven is my home. Is that right? Heaven is my home. I'm just here on a recruiting business. And there's some real reality to that. That's what we should all have as an attitude. When I was up in Alaska, I gave my life to Jesus while I was at college, first month there. I grew up in a church, but I had other things to do more important than God. So I lived my life for myself all through high school and all those years. And I think we told Faye this last week when your mom was here with you, that Brother Eves was having this baptismal service for kids our age. And my mom tried to convince me to go. And I don't want to be baptized. I don't want to be baptized. Why not? Because I got other things I want to do. And my mom threw this her trump card. If you go along, you get to swim in the Connors swimming pool. Remember the Connors? And so I said, all right, I'll go. So I got free swim out of the deal, but it didn't mean anything for God in my life. But supposedly, I've read articles on this, that the two places where people give in the most to God is number one, college, and number two, a kids camp that preaches Jesus. And so those are main areas to give your thrust to and make a difference in people's lives. And we do both of them here. There's a song that where these phrases come from. Bryony's husband, Brian, made these up quickly for us to have to show you this week. But we're going to have to adjust the letters and move them a little closer so my suspenders doesn't cover them for me. But you can get one of those shirts. He's selling them just what it's costing him. Think of like $13. So it's a good deal. And you probably get mostly this color. I really like this color. And several people, the boys picked all the pink. I'm sorry, guys. You may not have too many more pink. If you really want a pink, Michaela, I see your eyes sparkling. We'll order you a pink too, but most will be this color. But they say, I have decided. And that comes from a song. You might remember the song, if you're my age, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Da-da-da-da-da. No turning back, no turning back. So, I seen this on this little blip on the computer that different colleges and universities around the country are really seeing revival happen. And we know it happens with our kids' camp. It happens every year. So this was the first part. I have decided. And on the back, how about you? So this was probably used before. So I made up the back, add to what I seen on the college, because these college kids were being baptized with shirts on like this. They didn't have anything on the back. I called down, it was Stanford University in Alabama. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it. You're from down south. You might have heard of it. But anyway, that's where the revival's going on right now. They were baptizing people by the hundreds, college kids. I was thinking, I got a call down there. Do you have a trademark on those shirts? No. They're using them at all the universities and colleges around the states. Go ahead and make as many as you want. Did I add something to the back? You think you could make it better? Go ahead and add it to the back. So that's what we did. And I'm going to tell you the story about where that song came from. There was a guy, he's an Indian guy from India. That makes sense, right? An amazing act, statement. He lived in northern India. And God got a hold of his heart. He was a Muslim. God got a hold of his heart, and he gave his life to Jesus. And if you know anything about places where Islam is strong, Muslims are strong, that's a very dangerous thing to do. We've ministered in Egypt quite a few times. And I remember interviewing this one young lady the first time I went there to Egypt. And others were there, and the pastor, Nathan, wanted to have me talk to her and hear her testimony. And she gave her life to Jesus, when she was like a late teenager. And when her parents found out, they kicked her out of the house. Not only kicked her out of the house, they took everything in her bedroom, threw out in the street with their daughter. Don't you ever come back again. And we think we got it hard, right? Witnessing. This is the norm in the Middle East many a times. But back to this guy who wrote this song, or at least the lyrics to this song, 1880s. His name is Noksong. Noksong. When they found out he gave his life to Jesus, they tried to convince him to recant and come back to Islam. And it got so bad, they called him in and they arrested him and took his wife and all of his kids into this meeting with the Islamic leaders. And they said, "No, can you either recant and give up this garbage about Jesus, or you're going to pay horribly, horribly for this. Your family too." And that's where the first line comes from. He said, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back." That just made the crowds even more angry with him. And you can look it up. You could go to, and where I found it, I'll give you one guess. You got it. You can go to Bing and type in, "Where did this song come from? What's the history of this song?" And this is where I got it from Bing, all the information about this guy. And so the first thing he said to these people, "I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not turning back." So then they took his family, his wife and his kids, and they stood him right in front of this Noksong guy's name. And they stood him right in front of the dad. And they said, "We'll give you one more chance. You either acknowledge that you're a Muslim, or we're going to kill your wife and your kids right in front of your eyes." Put yourself in that kind of place. That would be hard, wouldn't it? Do I give up on Jesus? Or do I see my wife and my kids all tortured to death right in front of my eyes? And that's when he said this, the second line of that song. He said, "If none will go with me, still I will follow. If none will go with me, still I'll follow. No turning back." And they killed and tortured all his wife and kids right in front of his eyes. We think we have it hard because someone commented to us that they didn't like the color of our car or something. You know, I'm listening to them. Needless things like that. As they laid there, all killed and murdered in front of the dad, they said, "Okay, Noksong, this is your last chance. You either acknowledge that Islam is the true religion and Christianity, Jesus is just garbage, or we're going to kill you too." And you know what he said the next line? "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." And then they kill him. This is common still in the Islamic world today. Marcia and Jeremy, my oldest, went with me the one time to Egypt. Our lives were threatened. numerous times. And we're only alive because of God doing amazing miracles. But that's for another time. But you have to decide, how important is it for Jesus to be the center of your life? And the songs, I don't know who put the songs today, but one or two of them were perfect to lead into these shirts. I have decided, because it's a personal thing, you and I decide. It might not cost you your life, but for some, like this guy in India, it did. And the life of his wife and the life of all of his kids right in front of his eyes. So it's kind of like a witnessing tool. I have decided, because some people, I don't want you to wear these shirts if you buy one. I don't want you to wear them around the house. There's a good chance that somebody in your house has already knows why you decided. Okay. But you wear them to the grocery store. You wear them out to the supermarkets. You wear them to Walmart. You wear them to places where there's people. And they'll say that, see that. And some of them will probably ask you, what did you decide? And then you have a perfect opportunity to share how you decided to follow Jesus. And I love it when I have those opportunities. I never had a shirt like this, but even my license plate and my stickers on my car and all those things, there are things that cause people to pay attention and ask you questions. And then after you share with them about why you decided to follow Jesus, then you could say, how about that, bud? How about you? What are you going to do with that? So there'll be opportunities for you to sign up out there on the foyer area, on the table, if you would like one of these shirts. And they'll mostly be this color, except for Michaela's. And we got to get squished a little better so my suspenders don't cover them up, and up a little bit so they fit a little better. But you'll have an opportunity to buy them. And Brian's making them basically for just his cost. He's doing it all for free other than getting the materials in and printing them. I think he said probably be about $13 a piece. And that's pretty cheap. The second part that I want to talk about is standing up for kids that don't have anybody else standing up for them, and they become murdered because of mom and dad don't want them around. They're too inconvenient for us to live our lives. And let me tell you two things here. Number one, I don't think there's a church in America that doesn't have people attending it that didn't have an abortion. Okay? What about your church here, Jess? Yep, there's been several here that had abortions. And I don't tell it to anybody else, but they wanted me to pray with them and offer forgiveness and things like that. So it's a very common thing, but that doesn't make it right. And number two, God can forgive you and bring healing if that's the case. But maybe we can do some things to turn that around. It's amazing in our country that abortion has been turned around just in the last couple of years as much as it has. Remember about 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, when the Supreme Court decided that is not a good thing to have in our bylaws, that it's all right to kill kids. And duh. But anyway, this guy wrote this book. I don't know if you ever heard of 40 Days for Life. The guy that wrote this, Sean Connery, is an amazing, amazing author and leader in the pro-life movement now. There's been some others that rose up. I know the one that has made a difference in my life the most, Flip Benham. I'm sure you never heard of him, but he's the one that confronted me when I got invited down to D.C. to help protest in front of Planned Parenthood in D.C. and the White House. And I was riding down the elevator to go for breakfast at our hotel room. And it was just Flip and I in there. And so he said, "So, Jess, what did you read in your Bible today?" Yeah, I could lie to him. Or I could say, "I just didn't have time this morning." You know what he did? He got in my face and pointed his finger right at my nose. "Shame on you, Jess. If you didn't have time to read your Bible, you have your priorities out of order." And I know I'm speaking to other people, but that's where I was at that time. You want to know the truth? That was 21 years ago, and I've read through the Bible 21 years, straight through the Bible. Not that I had to do that for Flip, but I had to do it for myself. I needed what I could get out of that, a close relationship with God. So there's two stories that come to mind as far as abortion that I'd like to share with you. And then anybody that wants one of these, it's the most amazing book I've ever read as far as knowing how to talk to somebody about abortion or for healing for abortion. And usually about twice a year, I end up having some type of conversation, sometimes with college kids down at Bloomsburg years ago. The first one is this lady. Most of you recognize her name, Mother Teresa. Everybody knows who Mother Teresa was? As far as I'm concerned, she's the most famous Catholic in our age, even more than the popes. So anyway, she got invited to America when she won, I think it was like a Nobel Peace Prize for whatever. And when she came to America, this was in 1994, our government, the president at the time was Bill and Hillary. Great people, right? They were watching, they were in the audience, along with all the senators and all the representatives for our nation. They were all invited to this special prayer breakfast that Mother Teresa was going to speak at. And she spoke, and I looked it up just out of curiosity. She was 5 foot tall at the most. So she couldn't even hardly see over the podium. Made Marcy look like a stretch, right? Yeah. Well, you were 5'1", but anyway. So Hillary decided to ask her a question during the interview. "Mother Teresa, I have a question to ask you." Mother Teresa said, "Go ahead, what's your question?" And her question was this, and you could find this on the internet, and it'd be worth watching. Bing would probably work. Because I watched it several times on the internet. It's still recorded. It's available. But Hillary asked Mother Teresa, how long do you think it's going to be before we get a woman president in America? Okay, that was her question. That was important for her. You know, she tried herself. You know what Mother Teresa said? "Daniel, your friend that comes sometimes, Shirley Winter Showers, she reminds me of Mother Teresa." Just a little spunk to her, you know? If there is such a thing as a dream team in heaven for basketball, Mother Teresa is going to be on my team. She won't be under the net, but she'll be shooting from the 3-point. But anyway, how long is it going to be before we get a woman president in our country? And Mother Teresa looked at her and pointed her finger and said, "It might have already happened if you wouldn't have killed millions of baby girls by now." Talk about speaking the truth. This is Mother Teresa. And the place went ecstatic. Everybody was up and clapping and yelling and raising their hands and hooping and hollering, except for two people. Bill and Hillary. They sat there, their heads down. They didn't say a word. You ever hear the expression, egg on your face? You have to be real with people about abortion if it comes up and when it comes up. You have to be real about witnessing when it comes up. And sometimes you can make it come up by wearing things like this. The other person that I wanted to mention, other than Mother Teresa, was Flip Benham. And I think I already started telling you about him, that his conversation with me in the elevator going down to breakfast and sticking his finger in my face and saying, "Shame on you, Jeff." And I've reminded about that several times. Several years, we sent him and his wife a nice gift financially for Christmas, just to bless them because of what they did in my life. But 20-some years ago, I was asked by him to come along down to Washington, D.C., and minister along with the rest of the people. There was probably about 30 of us, and I was the baby. These other guys were giants in the pro-life movement. I was a baby, but somehow God allowed me to go along and be part of that. And we did the Planned Parenthood thing. Then we moved to the White House. And Flip said this, "Bring your Bibles along because I'm going to have you read a verse and prophesy right to the White House." You know, in the Bible, lots of times they prophesied over specific things, specific people, specific places, specific situations. And when we got here and we were praying, Flip said to turn to Ezekiel chapter 35. And the first five verses are very important, but for time's sake, I just want us to read verse 6. If you could put verse 6 of Ezekiel 35 up there. And this is what he said. Now, together, we're going to prophesy this to the White House. I think it was Bush, the older Bush, was president at that time, George W. Bush. I have it written in my Bible, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And the verse goes like this. "Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will give you over to bloodshed, because bloodshed will pursue you, since you have not hated bloodshed. Therefore, bloodshed will pursue you." How do you like that said to you? And that's what we were prophesying towards the White House there. And all of a sudden, police on horses come galloping down the road, and they surrounded us. And Flip said, "Here, take my bag, collect everybody's wallet, put him in this bag, and you step to the side. Don't lose my money." But anyway, so that was my part. I felt kind of like Paul, you know, when they were stoning Stephen. And Paul didn't throw stones, but he was there encouraging it. And so I was there just taking all the wallets so nobody else would find out who they were and when they were arrested. And so I stood to the side, and everybody else was arrested and hauled off to jail. But they were told beforehand, no name, no address, nothing like that. So they hauled them all off to jail, and I went back to the hotel with this big wad of wallets. That evening, they were all released. They were arrested, but they released them. They didn't even know who they were. They were releasing. So they all released. They come back to the hotel. We took a bus home that night and was back for church on Sunday morning to share that. But some of you are part of like the homeschooling group on Fridays down at Bloomsburg. we had a homeschooling group here on Tuesdays during that time when our four kids were growing up. So that's what we did. Marcy was part of it. I was part of it. And that first Tuesday after we prophesied that thing over the White House and over our country, something happened that morning. I'll give you a clue. It was 9/11. 3 days from when we prophesied it, our country was attacked and thousands of people were murdered. And because we didn't try to stop the bloodshed of all these babies being killed, God allowed bloodshed to come upon us as a nation. And truthfully, it made a difference in our nation for 2 or 3 days. Then everybody got back to normal and did what they were doing beforehand. So does that mean it might happen again? I wouldn't be surprised in the least. But so God raises up people like Flip Benham. God raises up other people that started, Randall Terry started movements we had around our country when the Supreme Court issued their most amazing agreement that it was wrong to kill babies. It got pretty ugly around our country for a little while. It got pretty ugly around this area. You might not know this, but we've helped start Loving Choices down at Bloomsburg about 35 years ago, almost the same time as Kids Camp. And it'd be 38 years for Kids Camp. But the lady that started down there asked, Jess, I know you have a gun. Could you bring a gun down and just sit outside of our door? Because there's a lot of places that are being attacked. Because of their pro-life stand, because of the decision the Supreme Court made. So yes, I didn't have to shoot anybody, I'm glad. But if somebody, and I was called names, I was spit at, things like that, but it didn't get that bad. But there's other places that they burnt, but really places down to the ground during that time. It could have got that bad. This book here is written by a guy that God's raised up after people like Flip Benham. You know, Flip Benham had two sons that were pro baseball players. They were both pro baseball players. And they left their income and notoriety and famous things playing baseball and making big bucks so they could come and step in for their dad and minister like their dad did for life around the country. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I can remember one time we called down to Flip's headquarters and because I wanted to get, you don't have it here? Yeah. Flip designed this. How to read through the Bible every day through a year. I called thinking I'd be able to talk to somebody about getting the current one for my Bible study for Marcia and I. Guess who answered? It wasn't a secretary. It wasn't the Flip brothers, Benham brothers. Flip answered the phone. It's Flip. Don't you have anybody to be answering the phone? Don't you got anything to better do? No, I'm helping my boys succeed and taking over for me. I said, that's really amazing that you're willing to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That was encouragement to me that it wasn't what he did before. It's what he's doing now to raise up other leaders. And this talks about how to strike up a conversation with someone who's contemplating an abortion. What to say that would help and what not to say that would hinder. Okay, there's both sides. And I was so impressed with this book. And it came about the same time as we got these shirts that I ordered 20 copies of this. I paid $17 for mine. But we still have about 15 copies left. And there they are. First come, get some for free. If you promise to read that book in the next month, cover to cover, it's only 153 pages. But it'll change your life. Why am I willing to make that kind of investment? Because I know how much that could change a person's life. Once they see, it's not just a belief. It's a reality that these blobs are babies. You try to convince Mackenzie that her belly is growing. I think it comes during kids' camp. But we will have Kathy Steckel here as a midwife. You have to know how to stand up and say the right things to convince people. We're going to close in just a minute, but first come, first serve. But if we run out of them, I'll order more because I'm so convinced that this book can change your whole aspect about abortion and how to save babies. The babies really are human beings. They really are people, just smaller. Remember that movie we watched years ago? What is it? Orton Hears a Who. Did you ever watch that? I don't know why my family suckered me into watching it with them. But there was this little who. And the expression that was made during the movie was, One at a time. A person is a person, no matter how small. You probably had it too. I think you were trying to say their charity. Okay, you must have watched it too. Did your mom make you watch it? No. She still watches it. But anyway, these are things we can do. And that's why we invested in these shirts, because it could lead to a lot of good opportunities to share Jesus with people. If you want one, you can sign up back there on the table, put your name and your size. They'll probably all be this color, except for Michaela's. But if you really want a pink, I'll order some pinks too, but this is my favorite color. I had to get special ones. That's a pocket for my glasses. But anyway, any questions before we close? These aren't just little nice ideas for things to think about and do with your time, if it ever comes up. These are things to make time have it happen. I know several people that pray every day after they read the paper, the things in the paper that need our prayer. So that's a great idea. Well, let's just close in a prayer right now. God, we thank you that you make opportunities for us to happen. And we can be helping Bonnie's. And we can do a lot of the good things. But I pray for every one of us that these two areas would become part of our DNA, that we'd have such a passion to tell others about Jesus and then disciple them like the Great Commission, help them to grow in their walk with God, and that we would stand up for these little babies. I had a person 2 miles from here, 1.5 miles from here, told me about 1 year ago, that's not really a baby in there. I said, well, what is it? Well, it's just a blob. I said, so you were a blob before you were born too? Oh, I don't want to think of that. Yeah. So there's people right in our neighborhood that needs to hear the truth. So God, help us to make a difference for you. be at helping people like Bonnie, be at helping people to come to know you, Jesus, be at helping people to realize that's not a blob. I think I mentioned last week, our church has been supporting buying ultrasounds through Focus on the Family for 7 years now. And Focus wrote a letter stating, and I still have it at home, stating that you've given money, this amount of money, for ultrasound machines for 7 years. With our calculations, your church alone has saved 120 people from being killed by abortion. Isn't that amazing? If we didn't do anything else, that'd be worth it. But we can do a lot more. God, thank you for giving us opportunities to make a difference. Help us to take advantage of them. In Jesus' name, amen.